Daddy Babes. I'm frequently told that not everything is funny. Unfortunately for others, I personally find there are very few exceptions. I love people and I love living, but I also recognize that life is temporal and absurd, and we must do what we can do to enjoy the hours we have. But not at the expense of others, right? If you want to be like a tech billionaire or a pharmaceutical CEO, and that's what's going to make you happy, doing it at a detrimental cost to society as a whole while raking in those dollar bills is clearly uncool. Okay, back to it. As I've said before, grief is perhaps the most terrible part of the human experience. But death? Well, sometimes death can be funny. Sure, usually it's a tragedy. I mean, almost always a tragedy. But sometimes, maybe something funny brings about a tragic end. Both and maybe, temporal space also allots for a more comic view of a tragic event. Now, there are those comedians who start cracking jokes the minute a celebrity's untimely end is announced. But they're not the nice ones. You gotta wait for the joke. So let's get down to it. Is it wrong to make jokes about dying? For me, not always. I'm the granddaughter of a pastor, but I have a Jewish mother. I will talk about the difficult things, but usually I crack jokes about the uncomfortable things to try and make people more comfortable with them, myself included. Then the topic stops being taboo. It becomes something we can all approach with good humor and grace. At least that's always my hope. Sometimes I just make things weird by calling out something others would prefer left unaddressed. In which case, I apologize. Maybe. Truthfully, this approach serves me well. Rather than carrying around the uncomfortable or unsaid things, I just call them out and let the pieces fall where they may. It's better for the blood pressure. So, talking about and joking about death can be a bridgeway into other conversations, perhaps more challenging conversations. And I think it's important to acknowledge that death is not always tactful. Sometimes it's outright disrespectful of both our wants and needs, to say nothing of our personal dignity. Which brings us to today, dear listeners. I have a special episode. I sort of feel like I'm sharing my secret treasure box with you during show and tell, because today I plan on sharing some stories of unfortunate ends that have a bit too much flair for dignified solemnity. So, without further ado, welcome to the first installment of Strange Endings.
How are you feeling today? No, really, how are you feeling? Don't say fine. Maybe you're a little sluggish, drained, foggy. Seriously, as you've aged, have you just gotten used to feeling less good? All those aches and pains become normal until fine means something a whole lot different than I'm good. The team at Catalyst Wellness takes a holistic approach to help you to take that fine to fabulous. Developing a highly personalized path is the best approach toward better health, and we at Catalyst Wellness can help you with that. Located in Scottsdale, Arizona, Catalyst Wellness can help you spark healthy change and reignite your vitality. Give their team a call today to schedule a free consultation. 480-882-8385. Once again, that's 480-882-8385. Thank you.
Okay, as I've said before, every death is a tragedy, but not every death is unfunny. On this episode, we'll be focusing on that second group. Starting with Adolf Frederick, who reigned as King of Sweden from 1751 to 1771, the year he died. On February 12, 1771, the king indulged in a feast of lobster, caviar, sauerkraut, kippers, and champagne, as well as 14, yes, 14, helpings of his favorite dessert. What dessert, you might ask? Or at least, I asked. Now I'm sharing. It was a traditional Swedish dessert called hetveg, which consists of semla pastries and hot milk. Looks delightful. If you check out this episode page on our website, you can find a link to the TikTok that taught me about hetveg. Thank you, good people of the internet. Anyway, King Adolf Frederick ate all the things and then died suddenly. Heart attack or poisoning were in line with his symptoms the night he died. But after reading the menu for the evening, a heart attack seems like it's the big contender there. I'm all about an Epicurean life, but everything has its limits. And for Adolf Frederick, apparently, that's 14 servings of hetveg. Okay, let's look at another royal example. This one first came to my attention with William Shakespeare's Richard III, or rather, the 1996 cinematic classic Looking for Richard, starring Al Pacino. Anyway, in Richard III, Richard orders his brother George Plantagenet, the Duke of Clarence, to be taken to the Tower of London and then murdered. But this Duke George of Clarence was also a key figure in Shakespeare's Henry VI. In that play, his death is attributed to his other brother, King Edward IV. George was executed following his conviction for committing treason against Edward IV. Historically speaking, rather than Shakespearely, George Plantagenet was in fact convicted of treason against Edward, and it's rumored that he was then drowned in a barrel of Malmsey wine. You see, the Duke was quite fond of the stuff, so some stories suggest he was given his choice of exit route from this world. Shakespeare embraced this part of the tale, including it in both plays. New word alert! So when I was reading about this, I saw that the Duke was drowned in a quote-unquote butt of Malmsey wine. Now, Malmsey is a type of grape. That's not the word I want to talk about. Back up a couple and let's take a look at the word butt spelled with two T's. According to Wikipedia, a butt is an obsolete English measure of liquid volume equaling 2 hogsheads, of course, being between 120 and 280 U.S. gallons. Well, okay. The more you know. Okay, we'll go from the Duke of Clarence, who was executed via drowning in a butt of Malmsey wine, to another story of an untimely end that was borrowed from history by a writer. According to the 12th century chronicler Henry of Huntingdon, King Edmund Ironside was assassinated after just 7 months on the throne while using the restroom. Killed by a crossbow. Killed by a crossbow while using the restroom. Brings to mind a certain Lannister from Game of Thrones. But borrowing from history is a writer's right. Another royal, Catherine the Great, was subject to all sorts of unseemly rumors while she lived and ruled in Russia. But the courtly rumor mill came up with a real humdinger upon her death. Yes, Catherine the Great's death was rumored to be the result of an amorous interaction with a horse. But this might be one of those times that the rumors did not match up with the actual history. At least, I hope so. Now we're going to shift gears here. I posted a video on the socials for my business a few weeks back, wherein our dear Dana, wait, that's me, discusses the most common killers in the United States. Specifically, number 59, accidental discharge of a firearm. A statistical study in 2017 revealed that 486 people died after accidentally being shot with a gun. Not surprising when you consider that an estimated 393 million, about 46% of the worldwide total of civilian firearms, are held by U.S. citizens. That's about 120.5 firearms for every 100 American residents. I mean, wow. That's not funny. But let's just turn back the clocks to the 15th century. King James II of Scotland was born in October of 1430 and crowned king just 7 years later. He ruled until his death in 1460 when he was 29 years old. What killed him, you ask? Accidental discharge of a weapon. More specifically, a cannon. See, King James II was a big fan of modern artillery. I mean, modern for the 15th century. You know, cannons, things like that. Anyway, he imported a large number of cannons from Flanders, and one either exploded or went off and struck the king with a cannon right in the thigh, like he was standing next to a cannon and got hit with a cannonball. That's just brutal. Thankfully, he fell to the ground and died quickly thereafter. That's definitely not something you want to draw out. Okay, enough of kings and queens. Let's jump from royal courts to legal courts. Truth is, most stories involving death in the courtroom are far more tragic than comical. Oftentimes, they happen in family court, like Harry Zelig, a Woodland Hills physician who shot his ex-wife in a Los Angeles court. No good all around. Avid news readers surely have encountered a courtroom brawl or act of violence, likely more than a couple. But we're focused on other matters, so I submit to you the story of Clement Vallandigham. In addition to possessing a wonderful name, Clement Vallandigham was an American congressman who was trained as a lawyer and earned his keep from working court cases, a side hustle, if you will, for congresspeople at the time. Vallandigham, unfortunately, is going to bring us right back to good old number 59, accidental discharge of a firearm. You see, during a trial wherein our dear Clement was defending a murder suspect, he attempted to show how the victim could have accidentally shot himself. The gun was loaded, and poor Clement shot himself in the bladder. The good news? His client was acquitted. Clearly, accidental shooting was a possibility in this instance. Clement Vallandigham did not survive the incident, however. That's rough. And since we're talking about attorneys, it seems like a good time to bring up Gary Hoy, a Canadian lawyer who died while trying to demonstrate that the glass in the windows of the office building where he worked was unbreakable. He offered this demonstration on the 24th floor of the Toronto Dominion Center by throwing his body against the glass. And to be fair to Gary, the glass didn't break. But it did pop the window out of its frame, and he fell to his death. The lesson here? Don't tempt fate. All right, TikTok. Maybe we have time for just one more. It's a brief one. Charondas was a Greek lawmaker of Catania, Italy, who is thought to be a pupil of Pythagoras, although some people argue that he might have lived during a different time than the famed mathematician and philosopher. The reason I make mention of him now in today's episode is because of the unusual exit he took from this world. According to historians, Charondas issued a law that anyone who brought weapons into the assembly must be put to death. Good idea, right? You can't arrive armed to governmental gatherings. I'm into that law. One day, he arrived at the assembly seeking help to defeat some ruffians in the countryside. However, he still wore a knife attached to his belt. So in order to uphold his own law, he committed suicide. I guess you could say he was a man of his word. Join us next month for another macabre meditation. Until then, I hope your summer's not a bummer. And for my fellow desert dwellers, take solace in the fact that fall will soon be upon us and we'll be free of the hellscape of summer, at least for another year.